we take a test, then we have to stay.
We're in the middle of Perek Zayin Pasukas. The Melech Shav Meginas Habis, and he returned from the garden with the small houses, of Beis Mishtah Yayin, to the room where they held the wine banquet. V'haman Neifel Amita, Haman is falling on the bed. Asher Esther Allah, Esther Zanet, V'yemer Melech Hagam Lichpesh Esamaki Mirabayis. Also this, you're going to capture the queen in my house, Adav V'yatsim Pi HaMelech. So these words came out of the king's mouth, to play Haman Chafus. We went through this pasuk already. There's a couple of things I just want to fill in. We had this Haman, we had the Machlokes Mefarshim, where the Haman was caught in the compromising position that he was trying to force himself on Esther. And we had two subshatim in that pshat. Either Malach made it look like that, or he did it deliberately in order to kill her off. If he's going down, she's going down with him. And then we had the Vilna Gaon pshat, you know, he just was trying to kill, he was trying to kill her. Lichpoish has two connotations. Lichpoish can mean to capture. Lichpoish means to capture. So it means to kill her or to violate her. Either way, he's finished. And the pasuk says, his face was embarrassed. He was embarrassed. He was covered with shame. Shlomo Alkovitz explains the significance of the Ginas Habisan. I mean, we also said a pshat like that last time. But Shlomo Alkovitz says the significance of Ginas Habisan is he ran out. He had to cool down. He was angry. He was mad at Haman. He ran out. He wasn't going to kill him. But when he went out to Ginas Habisan, that reminded him of something. It reminded him of another significant happening. In the Ginas Habisan, that's where they had the mission. They had the mission, that's where they wanted Vashti to come. And then she didn't come, and Haman advised him to kill her. And then he realized that the queen's in mortal peril. And that reminded him that Haman had a role in killing Vashti. And Haman's in the room alone with Esther. So the pasuk says he was in the Ginas Habisan because that's what caused him to come in right away. And of course, once he came and ran away, he found that Haman was compromised and he had him killed. Pnei Haman Chafu, Pash Pshat is that his face was covered with embarrassment. There's two other Pshatim. Remember, we're making a collection of Persian Minhagim. You can write a whole thesis on this. Persian Minhagim. The Alshik says that there was a Persian Minhag that when somebody was condemned, so then they put a bag over his head. I think that's something which it has survived until our current times, that they'll put a black bag over the guy's head and tie a string around it before they hang him. I mean, they didn't do that to Saddam Hussein. But there was a minhag, it's a Persian minhag. So Pnei Haman Chafu doesn't mean it was covered in shame. Pnei Haman Chafu is it covered his face. If you remember, there's a parallel to this by Vashti. When Vashti was put to death, the Torah never says that she was put to death. The Torah says that it was decreed on her she should never see the face of the king. So one of the pshatim was is that they covered her face. So that, you know, that stims. That coincides with the Deben Ezra has another reason why they covered his face. He also holds that they covered his face with a bag, but just so the king shouldn't have to look at him. The king was angry. Haman was the source of his anger. He provoked his anger. And the king shouldn't have to look at a guy that makes him angry, so he covered his face.
Who is this?
That was the Eben Ezra. Pasuk Tess, what I say. Vayem Chavayna. Chavayna, yes. Chavayna. Echem and Asaris, one of the foot soldiers of Nea Melech, in front of the king, Gamine Eitz. Now, besides the fact that Haman's trying to kill the queen, besides the fact that Haman's trying to violate the queen, besides the fact that Haman is, Haman. Gamine Eitz, here's the gallows. Asher also Haman leMordechai, the Haman made for Mordechai. And who's Mordechai? Asher Dibur Tov al HaMelech. Mordechai spoke good of the king. Mordechai saved the king's life. I'm in Bibes Haman, and it's standing in Haman's house. Gavei Chamishim Amma, it's high, you could see it. Vayem HaMelech Tlua Alav, hang him on it.
You asked him to say it.
Exactly. I mean, the Targum said that Chavon, he actually suggested this. Yeah. Targum said that Chavon actually suggested this. Let him and try it out. He has it in his house. The girl shouldn't go to waste. Hang him on. There's a number of points on this. Remember we discussed before, how did Chavon know this and why is he coming forward? How did he know it? So we said over before from the Yesub Lekach, I think it was the Yesub Lekach. He walked into Salmon and he walked in right then. The Gemara has a different shot. The Gemara Megillah says Simon Aleph has a different shot. The Gemara says he knew about it because he was part of the plot. There was a group of people, Haman's beloved companions, and Chavanya was part of it.
He switched sides at the end.
He knew about it because he's the one in the plot. He joined with Haman in the plot. So there's a machlokes between the Gemara and the Yesub Lekach, which is not much of a machlokes. The Yesub Lekach can't argue in a Gemara. And he informed on Haman, and what happened to Chavanya? He ran away. I mean, he's obviously afraid of getting, you know, of being found out. There's other people around from his plot. He's great. He's awesome. We love Chavanya. He switched sides and ran away. Now, the Vilna Gaon, he deals with this. The Vilna Gaon combines the pshat of the Yesub Lekach with the Gemara, interestingly enough. He says the words of the Gemara is that Chavanya ba'ose eitzahayim, he was in that council. He was in the eitzah. Chavanya was in the council. So the pasuk pshat is that he was a part of the plot. The Vilna Gaon says that that being part of the words ba'ose eitzah don't necessarily mean that he was part of the plot. Ba'ose eitzah can mean he was there when the plot was hatched. So the Vilna Gaon actually puts the two. That's how he learns it. Right, that's the upshot. So he was there. The Vilna Gaon says there's something very interesting in the pasuk. Gaminei, here's the gelos that shall also hamel Mordechai. Muhammad made for Mordechai. Who's Mordechai? Asher diber tayv al melech. He spoke tayv on the king. Is that what Mordechai did?
He saved his life.
Did he say anything good about Achashverosh? Diber tov al melech. You really have
good
to do
for the king. He
spoke you have to do acrobatics in order to make this work. Diber tov, he spoke good al melech.
Regarding the king.
Al hamelech. It's a stretch, but there's no doubt that you're right in the pasuk pshat. Diber tov al melech. The Vilna Gaon said that there's a better way of saying this. He said, Haman made it for Mordechai, then Mordechai saved the king. Wouldn't it have been a less confusing way of saying it? So Vilna Gaon said, Hashem put these words in Chavona's mouth. Hashem put these words in Chavona's mouth. Chavona did not speak these words. Because if you look at these words in a different context, you just put the commas in a different place. I'll read it. Gam hineh eitz. Here's the gallows, a shahat Haman, which Haman made. Kama. The Mordechai Shadiber. It was from Mordechai that he spoke. What did Mordechai say? Achashverosh knows what Mordechai said, you know. The Mordechai that he spoke. Tov al HaMelech. And that's good for the king. Tov al HaMelech means the word Tov is not connected to the word Dibur. It's not that Mordechai spoke good. Mordechai spoke. Tayv al HaMelech is going on the gallows. Again? In case you didn't catch that. Hineya Eitzah Sha'asa Haman. Kama.
What does that mean, Mordechai who spoke?
He made it for Mordechai who spoke. Mordechai, you know, spoke. The pasuk doesn't have to tell us what Mordechai says, because we know what he says. But Tayyib al-Melech, that Haman has it in mind, it's good for the king too. That means that Haman's trying to kill off Mordechai because Mordechai is a threat to Haman. Haman wants to kill the king. Who's standing in between Haman and the king? Haman wants to kill the king. Who's standing between Haman and the king? Who's going to frustrate his attempts to kill the king? Mordecai. So he made a gallows. He made it for Mordecai. And then it's good for the king too, because once Mordecai's dead, then the king is a dead duck. It's open hunting season. Tell you about HaMelech. And Achashverosh heard this.
HaMelech could be king, could be Hashem.
Melech could be Hashem. And about Chavayna. There's two views about Chavayna, a little bit of innocent who Chavayna was. First of all, there's the Alshich. He has a kasha. Chavayna's name is changed, the spelling of the name is changed. In this pasuk, the Alshich, Chavayna is spelled with a hey at the end.
Doesn't change once before.
Chavayna? Hega changes. It's the same thing, it goes from an olive to hay. Here Chavayna is spelled with a hay at the end. The Alshik said that Chavayna wasn't Chavayna here. Chavayna was Eliyahu HaNavi. We mentioned this before. He says, the Rambam says because the change, the last letter changes from an Aleph to a Hey. And the Hey, the Gematria of Hey is 5. And there's 5 letters, and Eliyahu is HaNavi's name. So the fact that it changes to a Hey is a Rambam's, there's Eliyahu. Changes to a Hey. Another Rai he brings, besides the name change, is that the Pasuk says, Vayemer Chavayna echad min asarisim lefnei HaMelech. Chavayna is one of the foot soldiers in front of the king. Why do you have to add the words in front of the king? We know that's what a foot soldier is. Asaris is lefnei HaMelech. Once you say Saris, Sarisim are called Reya pnei HaMelech. That's good as well. That's also good. But why does he have to say lefnei HaMelech? The Alshik says because he was only Chavayna in front of Achashverosh. When he wasn't in front of Achashverosh, he wasn't Chavayna. So he's Lefnei HaMelech.
Rabbi, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Shalom, Zayas. Regards to Baltimore.
All right. Have a good day.
Thanks a lot. Oh, I hope I don't get blamed for this.
He's trying to shoot.
And if he doesn't come now, it's all going to be my fault.
Rabbi.
Do you okay with that?
What? Huh? Yeah, okay. Lefnei HaMelech. Lefnei HaMelech. In front of the king. It means he's only in front of the king is he Chavayna. But in his alter ego, he's Eliyahu HaNavi. Okay. Alright, that's the Alshich Shita. That's the Alshich Shita. It was Eliyahu HaNavi. The Hey, Lefnei HaMelech was Eliyahu HaNavi. Hashem sent him. There's a commentary from a commentary called Sha'ar Bas Rabim. The gate of many. Sha'ar Shinayin Reish Bas Beisaf Rabim. Shabbas Rabim. And he brings this. There was Eliyahu HaNavi. But he also brings another, an alternate explanation. We already have two so far. He was one of the plotters. Actually, three. He was a loyal servant of Achashverosh that happened to walk in the middle. He was one of the plotters that informed that Haman ran away. And according to that pshat, it could be he just hated Haman. And we saw before, ample evidence, they hated Haman. He didn't necessarily have to be a Jew lover, he just wanted to bring Haman down. Eliyahu HaNavi, and this is going to be a fourth pshat. Chavayna was part of the plot. The Sha'ar Bas Rabim was, he was part of the plot. Chavayna saw the Hashkocha. Chavayna was witness to all the wondrous events as they unfolded. He saw the Niflayas Abayri. He saw the Hashkocha Pratis. He saw the woven tapestry. And he saw it and he understood it. Chavayna was in a position to see it all. He was a witness. He was a witness to all the events. He was there in the scene, everything. And he finally chopped, it finally clicked. It's all one. There's a Kadosh Baruch Hu there. He's orchestrating this. It's all one, one beautiful mosaic. It's a work of art. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is bringing all these parts together. All the threads come together, and he's on Haman's side. That's not a good place to be. So he did tshuva. And the Shabbos Rabbim says that it's quite possible he did tshuva, and that's why he informed on Haman. That was his tshuva. That was an act of tshuva. It's not because he hated Haman. He was doing tshuva. And the Shabbos Rabbim says it's possible that he was Megayer. It's possible. And he said that would explain why his name is changed from Chavayna with an Aleph to Chavayna with a Hey, because Hey is one of the letters of Hashem's name. And when he was Megayer, he got a new name. He put Hashem in his name.
In one day, this is all from one night.
He had a hear her and shuva in one day. Right? It was a few years in coming.
But the gallows were only one day. It's only been up for less than a day.
Right. Therefore,
that doesn't mean he hadn't been watching events.
Name change on the Megayer is only after they go to the mikvah.
The name change. What?
I thought the name changed only after they go to the Mekka. Only after the Megayer, after Bris Mila for a guy.
Hashem is hinting at the fact that he was...
You know, Yisrael's name was Yisrael because they added on a parsha to the Torah. Right? He added on a parsha to the Torah after he was Megayer. And in Parsha Shmais, which is... Shmais, Rabbi Mishal, five parshas before he was ever Megayer, the Torah says his name was Yisrael. You know that? Why? Al Shem Hasid means whatever brought him to be Megayer later was present before. So the fact that it has a name change doesn't mean he was Megayer right now. That just means that the Sheirish, the source of his Geirus, is found over here. Here's what he did. Here's what he did Shuva.
Maybe what's forcing him to say it's an act of Shuva? Is it the name change? Because it could just be him saving his own skin. That's very plausible to say.
The Shabbos Rabbim says that he wasn't saving his own skin. He was doing it because he was recognized the Kaddish Baruch Hu's role in creation.
Where does he see that, though? What's he looking at in the pasuk that's showing him?
The hay would be a raya to it. The gerush would be a raya to it. He didn't have to be Megayer in order to save his own skin.
I was asking if it was just
that would be a raya. But just the fact that he turned on Haman. Rishayim of that caliber don't turn around just because of skin saving reasons. Rishayim, this is Amalek. Amalek and his Haverim. They're not deterred by threat of death. It's not, these are really truly wicked people. You know, these are not just standard anti-Semites. They turn around. You know, I once heard from Rav Yaakov Weinberg, Zichur Levracha, he was the Rosh Yeshiva of Nei Yisrael, that the Chazal bring a raya that Yishmael did tshuva, because when Avram died, and they brought him in to the Maris HaMachpelah, so Yitzchak's name is mentioned first, and then Yishmael's, and that's a raya that Yishmael let him go first. So you see Yishmael did tshuva. Rav Weinberg said, what's the raya? Yishmael was a Rasha. But he let Yitzchak go first. I mean, Yitzchak was the one who lived with his father. He took care of him, you know. He let him go first. What's the right to Shuvah? He said, the Torah says, for one is very familiar with the rishus of Yishmael. The rishus of Yishmael manifested itself in that Yitzchak is not there. Yishmael is the son, and Yitzchak should be sent away. It's not possible for someone... Rishayim have standards. Rishayim do have standards. It's not possible for Yishmael to allow Yitzchak to go first, unless he did tshuva. If Chavayna informed on Haman and he brought Haman down, then he must have done tshuva. To be part of Haman's cadence, what do you call it? Yeah, crew. And then to inform Haman, he can't remain the same Rosh and inform him. With Rishayim of this caliber, these are true emissary Rishayim. True bona fide Rishayim, it's not possible. Pasuk Yud, right there. Vayislo as Haman al Eitz, they hung him on the tree, Asher Hechel and Mordechai, which he prepared for Mordechai, Vechamasa Melech Shechachar, and the anger of the king, Shechachar means it became calm, it settled down, became calm. Why does it say Shechachar? It's two chafs, Shechachar. Just say Shachar. Why do you say Shechachar? So the Gemara Megillah has two pshatim. One pshat is that Achashverosh was angry for two reasons. He realized that Haman killed off Vashti, and that Haman was trying to bump off Esther. So he was angry at Haman for two reasons. So it says Shachacha with two chavs, to teach us, to show us that both angers subsided.
No. One for killing Vashti and
one for attempting to kill Esther.
Can you say also that it's permanent? Like, we know Ahasuerus has mood swings, and this is, his anger was abated and for good, because he never really had a mood swing about killing Haman.
It's hard to get angry about.
No, I don't know if there's any guarantee that he's gonna have, not going to have a mood swing after this.
He's gonna
not a mood swing, but never
machine.
never resent.
Someone else will do it. I don't see that in the Pasuk. I don't see that as necessarily being in the Pasuk. The other pshat the Gemara says is because every time it says Amalach, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry that Haman is arising against his people and trying to wipe them off the face of the earth. Ahasuerus is angry because Haman is rising up against him and his queen. So HaKamas Amalach Shechacha is, it's referring to both kings.
But we never did that before.
I know, isn't that interesting?
Hashem can't be angry at Haman. Hashem set Haman up to do it.
Haman chose
angry
to do
that
it.
You did what I told you to
so
do.
So then how could Haman get punished if Hashem is the one that
punished because
you
went above and beyond what he needed to have done.
Well, that's one shot. So Hashem's angry at him for that. If Haman would have done exactly what he was supposed to do.
Good answer,
right? Then he's angry at him for that. Yeah. There's plenty of reasons to be angry at Haman. Alright, there's an interesting rekeach on this pasuk. He has a bunch of remazim.
Rather to Haman being hanged in the pasuk.
No, actually not. he says if you count the amount of pasukim from the last time it said someone was hung until this time, what was the last time someone was hung?
Vashnu.
What?
Wasn't
that? That was by Bixen and Sarish.
True
that. So in the pasuk Vayislu is Shnehem.
42.
Until Vayislu is Haman. Two Vayislus. The 70 psukim. 70 psukim.
70?
Yes, you can count them.
Divide it in half, it's 45.
No, don't believe me.
Take off three from Mordechai, Esther, and Hashem.
Now, the Nachash in Gan Eden caused Adam and Chava to sin, and Hashem said, Ve'eva Ashis, there's going to be a hatred. Ava means hatred.
Ava Ashes.
Ashes. Ava Ashes. I'm going to place a hatred between the descendants of Chava and the descendants of this Nachash. From the beginning of Bereishis until the pasuk of Ava Ashes is 70 psukim. So you see the relationship between Haman and the Nachash HaKadmoni. According to some views in the Gemara Brachas, the Eitz Hadas was grapevine, and grapevine vines produce wine, and the gematria of the yayin is
70.
wait, so what is the second one?
It said from Bereishis until the pasuk of Ve'eva Ashes.
David lived 70 years.
No, that has nothing to do with this.
The Nachash caused 70 nations to die.
Okay.
Hashem said that the day that you eat from the tree, you're going to die. And the Nachash caused that. He caused the 70 nations to die. Klal Yisrael has avtaka that we're going to rise above that and we won't die, but the 70 nations are going to die. So the Nachash caused the 70 nations to die. Haman caused the 70 nations to die. In this war, Klal Yisrael killed out a significant portion of the Shivim Umais. The pasuk talks about judgment in Parsha Shoftim. Shoftim v'shoftim, titel lecha b'kol sherecha, until the pasuk of Zachar, Ish asher asa lecha Amalek. That's at the end of Kiseitze. From the beginning of Shoftim to the end of Kiseitze. No, it's not 70 psukim. There's 70 mitzvahs there.
From
a lot more than 70.
From the beginning of
Shoftim until the end of Kiseitze, there's 70 mitzvahs. Mordechai was a member of the Sanhedrin, which had 70 members. Mordechai had knew 70 languages. And Purim, the salvation of Purim came about through the Mishnah HaYayin. Yayin is Gematria 70. It's the same Gematria as the Yayin that Adam Rishon had. Same Gematria. The first letters that Haman sent out were sent out on Yud Gimel Nisan. The second letters were sent on a Chof Gimel Sivan. So we didn't get to that yet. The difference between Yud Gimel Nisan and Chaf Gimel Sivan is 70 days.
And to Yud Gimel Sivan?
Chaf Gimel Sivan. Chaf Gimel Sivan. There's more.
Somebody else say that Haman's in the Gimel.
This one will look up.
From
yeah, that's also Eitadas.
And that's the same.
That's also Eitadas, yeah. Cool. That's also. I was in Beis Yisrael last night. I gave an hour and a half share on that.
On what?
And I'm in Eitz.
Really? Did you record it?
No.
Can I have it?
I did not record it.
Someone else recorded
it? Yonah Goldberg wrote it down.
Did he record it?
He wrote it down.
I know. Did he record it?
He wrote it down.
Everyone who records stuff was in base yesterday.
Next year, Mitch Hashem, I'll come and give it to you.
The same speech or it recorded?
Whatever. You'll be there. I'll give it to you. In Parshas Emor, from the beginning of Parshas Emor until Sfiras Emor, until the Parshas Sfiras Emor, the 70 psukim. Now, what's so significant about that? There is a pashup shot because Mordechai was learning with the little children the laws of Hilchas Knitza. He was learning them the laws of Karban Mincha. And Haman, when Haman saw that, Haman lost it. He just lost it. Yeah. So that's the pashup shot. But there's also a remez because in Pasuk Yud Gimel. It says a milchasa ishnei esrainim silas below the Hashem and ishal Hashem reik nichayef v'nisko yain v'vis hahin. So last word in Yud Gimel, parakav Gimel pasuk Yud Gimel is hahin. So the last letter is nun. And then Yudalid, the last word in pasuk Yudalid is Moshe v'seichem. That's mem. And the last word in pasuk Tezvav is tihiyana. That's hey, nun, mem hey is. Haman. So 70 psukim into Parshas Emor is Haman's name at the end of Pasuk Yud Gimel and Yudal and Tesvav.
And it's the end of the seventh time.
By light, the second, light had relations with his daughter on one night, after Stem was overturned. So they ran to the mountains with his two daughters. He had relations with the older daughter the first night. And the second night, they said, Nashka Yai, the Pasuk says, by Light, Light's daughter.
It just says she awoke.
He awoke. He awoke. One second, please. Dovity. Vayhim in Macharas, it was the next day. Vatayma Bechira Latzira. The older daughter said to the younger one, Hain Shechafti Emesh Asavi. Last night she slept with her father. Nashkenu Yayim Gamalayla. Let us give him to drink wine also tonight. A boy Shech Ve'imai and go lie with him. And the Chayim Evinazar will have children. They did it L'shem Shemayim. The words Nashkenu Yayim Gamalayla. Let us give him to drink Yayim Gamalayla. Yayin, the last letter in Yayin is Nun. Last letter in Gam is Mem. Last letter in Halayla is Hey. Nun Mem Hey, that's Haman. So, number one, you see Haman. Nehemiah is right next to Yayin, which is the obvious one. But also, this Maisa was Pesach time. Does anybody remember? This is Pesach time. Chazal say, Avraham Avinu, Light gave the Malachim matzah. Ugas matzahs. Sarah gave them all here in second. The boy say.
Wait, so this is all on the second day of Pesach?
This is the second day of Pesach. Nice. And the second day of Pesach,
It was in Wall City's not going to do it. It's still Yom Tov.
Right. The second day of Pesach was the exact same day. That's how Haman's yard site. Haman was killed, and on that very night, he was killed on the second day of Pesach. He was killed the day Then the day after the fast ended.
So we should make a scene.
Yes, he was killed the second day of Pesach. He was killed. Either it could have been in the middle of the night. It could have been by the next morning, depending on when he came. So not Yayin Gamalayla is Haman, and that was the Yom Ktsiras HaEmer, which is the day that Haman was killed, etc., etc. And there's one more remez. When it talks about Haman's house, so Achashverosh took the house and all of Haman's possessions and gave them all to Mordechai. Esther has to give it to Mordechai. So it says, Asher Hevir Mehaman, that it was taken away from Haman. This is in Parakas, Pasuk Beis. Hevir Mehaman. Hevir He Ayin Vez Yid Resh Mehaman. If you make a cheshbon, it's Begematria 422. He Ayin Vez Yid Resh Mehaman Mem He Mem Nun Sofis. It's 422. 422 is the same Gematria as the word Shin Vez Ayin Yud Mem. Shin Vei Zayin Yud Mem is 422. That's the same gematria. Shivim. Okay, I'm saying. Perches. Vayim Hahu. On that day, so Haman's dead, but it's not over yet. Haman's dead, it's not over yet. Vayim Hahu Nasan Amelach Achashverosh Lester Malka. He gave to Esther Malka his base Haman, the house of Haman, Tzera Yehudim, the oppressor of the Jews. Mordechai Bolifnei Amelach. Mordechai came in front of the king. He gave to Esther Ma'ala. Esther told Achashverosh what he is to her.
Is that me?
I don't think so.
What is she telling
him?
Her uncle. Her adopted father. Depending on whether he knew that or not. So there's a number of things here. Bayamahu. On that day, immediately. There's a commentary by the Ma'amar Mordechai, Mem Aleph Mem Resh, Ma'amar Mordechai. What's the rush? Achashverosh was fickle. Achashverosh was prone to changing his mind. So, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Mordechai to get this prestige. It was very important for the next step. Mordechai should rule. Mordechai should rule. That was integral. Achashverosh might have had good intentions, but you know, good intentions, the way to, you know, where is paved with good intentions. We already have a precedent that Achashverosh initially thought to reward Mordechai with Yikar and Gedula, and then after he thought about it a little more, so he downgraded it to Yikar. So the Ma'amar Mordechai says, Bayamu is Hashem, worked it out that Achashverosh should do it immediately. So he should act on his convictions, and it shouldn't cool off. Bayamu. The Vilna Gaon says a different pshat in Bayamahu. The Vilna Gaon says you find two expressions in Tanakh. You find Bayamahu, which is Lashon Yachid, and you have That's in Parsha Shmos. That's talking about the Sheba Mitzrayim. The Chassidus Sfarim say Rabim is Rosh Tevis, Romi, Bavel, Yavan, and Madai. Vayhi b'yamim harabim ahim. So it's not a good pasuk. That's bad. So Yamim Rabim is bad, and Bayamahu is good. This pasuk is a good pasuk. We like this pasuk. It's a happy pasuk.
Where's
that? I don't know. Vayi b'yamahu was on that day. Or he talks about Be'yakov Avinu. He worked for Rachel for 7 years. And it says, Vayi b'enav kiyam machadim ba'avasa esai. It was like singular days with his love. So you see that when time goes fast because you're enjoying yourself, you know, time flies when you're having fun. So that's referred to as singular days. And when it's bad, when it's a yamim rabim, that's bad. That's bad. And we can understand this on a very personal level because when you're inside, time passes slowly. So it seems like wow, you know. Yeah, when it's 5 to 1 and you want shiur to end, the clock moves very slowly. It does. But the Vilna Gaon says that the difference is essentially a difference between Lashon Yachid and Lashon Rabim. You see, because the gematria of Echad is Ahava. Ahava and Echad, so it's easy to catch me. 13. Ava is when you love someone and you're one with them. Lashon Rabbim means that there's many. That means you can't get together. That means there's discord. There's discord. There's a lack of harmony. So that's Rabbim. Rabbim is never good. Yachid is always good. Because Yachid means that everyone is doing the job. They're all working together as one. They're all happy. They're all mashlim each other. You have a shlemus. And Rabbim is fragmented. So that's what he says. That's how he says Pshat in this pasuk. Bayamahu means that was a happy day because that was a day where everything came together as well. That's the one event. Yishev Lakach explains Bayamahu is with Mida Kedeged Mida because Haman says, remember Haman's Gzeirah on Klal Yisrael is that they should be killed in one day. Ushlam Olvayz in one day. We explained that he wanted to be Mizaras then. We explained that, if you remember. They told them they can't take any of the plunder until they kill all the Jews, and it has to be done on that day. They didn't want people taking their time, because then the Jews might escape through the woodwork. So he said, "B'yamu is that therefore all of Haman, you know, everything that Haman amassed his entire life, it must have taken him a long time to amass such wealth. All that was instantaneously transferred to Mordechai B'yamu. The Haman was plundered." In one day, and the Gemara and Megillah says that that's the way Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. Mordechai, Hashem wants Mordechai to be wealthy. Hashem wants Mordechai to have covered, but Hashem doesn't want Mordechai to have to go through what he's got to go through in order to get there. You know, time is money. Chavetz Chaim, she used to say, money is time. Chavetz Chaim was Yedua. He didn't have any sfarim in his house. He had very, very few. He had a very sparse sfarim library. Very sparse.
Which ones did he have?
You know, in the Mishnah Berurah, there's all kinds of sfarim mentioned. And some rare sfarim. Someone once went over to his house to borrow the sefer, and the Chavetz Chaim says, "Why would you think I have it?" He says, "Because you mentioned it in your thing." He said, "That doesn't mean I have it." So people say time is money. I say money is time. If I'd have to buy all these sfarim that I have in my sefer, I'd have to have money to buy them. In order to have the money, I'd have to take time out from learning in order to earn it. So I'm not going to take time out from learning in order to buy sparring. Money is time.
So you used to just borrow them?
You borrowed them. And you buy it. Money is time. So but Hashem wants Mordechai to have it. So what does Hashem do? Haman spent his whole life, amassing great, great amounts of wealth. Hashem killed Haman and gave all the money to Mordechai. So all the hatzlach that Haman had, it was almost like a shamer of be cutting from Mordechai. It's the Gemara Megillah. The Shlomo Alkovitz points out his pasuk. Interesting. Mordechai, pasuk says, Mordechai bolif nei melech. Mordechai comes in front of the king. We're going to get back to this in later pasukim. It says Mordechai bolif nei melech. How's Mordechai coming in front of the king? I thought you can't come in front of the king. What happens to someone that comes in front of the king? How's Mordechai coming in front of the king? You have an answer?
Haman's order was taken away.
So they basically another Persian minhag. Remember, we should make a booklet of Persian minhag. We have about 8 of them. Or I should make you write an essay on ancient Persian customs.
No.
That when somebody, when someone formulates a law, and then they die, then the law dies with them. So that's why right after the pasuk says the Haman was hung, right afterwards the next pasuk is a Mordechai Balif Ne'amala. Because now he was able to come in front of the king. Pasuk Beis.
Wait, so who said that?
Yeah, but then why?
That was
Shlomo
Akibitz.
What?
Yeah,
pasuk Dal. It says that the king had to do the scepter thing.
King was still alive.
We used the signet ring.
When we get to Pasuk Dalet, we're going to discuss that. Mitzvah, we should get to it today. I hope so. we should be able to do that. That was a very astute observation of you, Brian. By Yasser HaMelech Estabata, he removed his ring. Ashahavi Mahaman, he took it from Haman. By Yidin LeMordechai, he gave it to Mordechai. But Tassam Esther is Mordechai, Beis Haman, Esther put Mordechai on Beis Hamlin. So we've got a few things here. In the same pasuk, they're sort of mumble jumbled here. Yeah, it says here that Achashverosh, in the previous pasuk, it says Achashverosh gave Esther Haman's house. And this pasuk, Esther's giving Mordechai Haman's house. You know, what is that? Is that what you do? King gives you something? King makes you fabulously wealthy, he gives you an entire estate, and then the next pasuk you give it to someone else.
Well, it wasn't her family.
Like giving it to someone else, it was her family.
Yes. And then what's the shaykhus between Esther giving Mordechai, it's mashma that Esther gave Mordechai the house because the king gave Mordechai the ring, not because of family connections.
And that was the official
house. I'm saying, you know, Achashverosh gave Haman's house to Esther. Mordechai comes in front of the king, that's the last pasuk. The king takes his ring off, gives it to Mordechai. Esther puts it. So
you could say that him giving her the house, if we're saying that she gave him the ring because he got the house, then you're saying that he gave, by saying he gave her the house, that's saying he gave her the permission. You choose who the next person is going to be. You'll have this position. It doesn't mean you have.
Right,
the
so
house.
You're already starting to weave the web, right? There's a web here. So Yosef Lachar does it his way, and it's a little out of order. Achashverosh loved Esther, so he gave her Haman's house because he loved her. Esther wanted to honor Mordechai, because Mordechai is Mordechai. So she gave it to Mordechai. Achashverosh didn't understand why Esther gave it to Mordechai, because, you know, Mordechai is a very fine, upstanding person, but what's he to Esther? Which means Yosef Lachar holds that Achashverosh did not know what Mordechai was to Esther. Remember, we said there's different views in the Mefarshim how much he knew. The maximum that he knew was that Mordechai had raised her. He didn't know she was Jewish. And then the minimum he knew is that he knew nothing. You know, it ranges. So Yosef Lachar obviously is of the Shita that he knew nothing. So he couldn't figure out why Esther gave it to him. That's why she had to explain to Achashverosh who Mordechai really was. It's her uncle. He adopted her. So it's all connected. And then she could explain it. Achashverosh says, I didn't realize that you had such a relationship with Mordechai. And, you know, he said, I have to re-meet Mordechai. You know, I never knew that Mordechai was this close to you. He's your uncle, and he's your father, and you're my queen. That makes him my father-in-law, and he's my uncle also. Like, he said, so that's why Mordechai came in front of the king. And after Mordechai came in front of the king, so Achashverosh realized, or he had like a new understanding, a new glimpse. He got a glimpse into what Mordechai really was. He always knew who Mordechai was. Mordechai saved his life. But this time it seems that he met him personally, and he got to know him, and he got to know him in a deeper fashion than he knew him from before. And he said, I'm missing a second in command. I'm missing a viceroy. And you're the perfect person. You came along at the right time. And then Mamela, you know, so Yosef Lachar said this was all Ashkaka Pratis. In order for Hashem to save Klal Yisrael, Mordechai has to be elevated. In order for Mordechai has to be elevated, so then Achashverosh has to be made aware of Mordechai's greatness. And Yosef Lachar says that Mordechai was not the type of person to ask for anything. And Esther wasn't the type of person to ask for anything, even though they deserve it. You know, they saved Achashverosh's life, and if Achashverosh feared that Haman was plotting against his life, then they saved his life again. Let's not forget that. They saved his life again. In reality, Haman probably did ultimately want to do away with Achashverosh at some point. So he saved his life twice. They could have asked for anything, but they're not the type of people to do that. Hashem knows that. Hashem knows his children. So Yosef Lachar says, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into Esther's head to take the king's present, the king's magnanimous dispensal of Haman's estate to Esther, she gives it to Mordechai. And that's a strange thing to do. It is strange. The queen,
what's she going
to
do with the house? Haman's giving her, I don't
feel that I'm responsible to explain what she would do with it. I mean, I'm not sure what the question is. if the king of England would give you Versailles, you know, You don't. What are you going to do with it? If Queen Elizabeth will give you Buckingham Palace, or what am I going to do with it? I'll charge admission. I'll charge £5 a head. I'll get rich off it. Right. Yeah, but she's. You know, this is something of her very own. And this question didn't disturb me. The other questions that did, this one thing didn't disturb me. And so that aroused, you know, that's a strange thing to do. You don't, a queen does not give away a gift that her husband gave her because he loved her. So then she had to explain herself, and then once she explained herself, he wanted to meet him. Once he met him, so he rose to him, it was all set off by Esther doing something out of character and giving away a present from Akashverosh. Toshkaka Pratis. The Medrash makes a parallel on another track between Mordechai and Yosef HaTzadik, because these are the children of Rachel. Mordechai is from Rachel Imenu, the Yosef is from Rachel Imenu, and the Gedula of the children from Rachel Imenu has a common thread, the similarities, and you see this is clear to us, that Yosef got his Gedula by the king transferring a ring onto his finger, so Mordechai also got Gedula, greatness, by transferring a ring onto his finger. Okay, Pasuk Gimel. Well, Tosef asked her about the table of Nehemelech. Tosef means she kept on talking. She's not finished. Vatipel ifnei Raglav, and she fell in front of his feet. Vatepek, and she cried. Vatiskanolai, and she beseeched him. Mahavis rois Haman Agogi, to remove the evil of Haman Agogi, vismachshavtai. And not just his evil, but his thought, his design. There's two things here. His evil and his machshava. Asher chashav al Yehudim, which he thought on the Yehudim.
Shouldn't she have done this before she started accepting gifts from her?
No. First of all, she wasn't in control of...
Yeah, she can't say, wait before you give me the gift. Let me fall at your feet.
But this is the... Adarab, that's why she panicked. Because of the gift.
Well, he's afraid that he already
that's
did.
It. She was fine. She might have wanted to. I just lied on this pasuk, actually. First of all, lahashmit lahavir is ra'as, to take away the evil. The gematria of the word ra'as is? It's an easy gematria. Ra'as, 670. Resh is 200, iron is 270. And tough is 400, 670. The gematria of the three words lahashmid, laharog, ula'abed is 670. Same gematria exactly. Lahashmid, Larog, Ula Abed, if you spell it that way, is exactly 670, that's for us. On this passage, Yeshiv Lakak, 670. Ra'as is 670.
I thought that was 276
for Zerah.
How's that going?
I don't know.
How's Ra'as 270?
670.
Ra'as is 670.
Yeah. And Lahashmid, Larog, Ula Abed is also 670. This passage Yeshiv Lakak says that, you know, B'nayak Shavaylam, it's the customary that when you want something from the king, you ask him for one thing, and he doesn't give you what you ask for, and he gives you something else, so he's telling you something. You know, if you ask for a king for a rabbit, and he gives you a parakeet, then there's one thing you know, you're not getting that rabbit. You're not getting it. And this is, you know, she asked Achashverosh in the Mishnah, remember the Mishnah? I'm asking for my Amiba Bakashasi, you know, I'm asking you. She begged him, she broke down, you know, she beseeched him, Haman is trying to destroy us, and this, you want to know what I want, Achashverosh? I want the life of my people. I want the life of my people. He never answered her. You know, that question is hanging. You realize that? We got distracted with Haman. Her question's hanging. And how did he respond? He gave her a palace, and he elevated Mordechai to the position of viceroy. She didn't ask for that. She's scared. And, you know, to tell you the truth, I'm also scared. We should be scared. That means that as far as saving the lives of the Jewish people, we haven't advanced a single space on the board. The Gzeira's out there. Nachashverosh is not doing anything about it. And he was asked, and he didn't respond. Reb Shlomo Akovitz brings down, we'll see in the next pasuk, a machlokes whether this Persian decree was still in effect, that one may not see the enter the right. No, they said that's according to one pshat. I told you that. That was one pshat that it dies with Haman.
So according to that pshat, what's Esther doing here?
She's doing exactly the same thing that she did the first time. She's putting herself in mortal danger. She's putting her life on the line. Again, I mean, this is something which you might not have noticed.
No, but
the Brian noticed it. It's if the Gzera was gone. I said, there's enough like it. If the Gzera was not gone, sir, and she wasn't being mentioned at first by going into Achash.
Or the Gzera what she's asking for.
If to the save the life of the
gone.
Jews?
You could say the Gzera couldn't
not
be
not that Gzera. I understand what you're asking. There's two types of Gzeras. There's Gzeras that are decreed and they're put into law books, and there's ones that are issued with the Tabas HaMelech. Tabas HaMelech you can't take back. That's Lashon HaPasuk.
Yeah, I don't get it.
But the Persian law that you can't come into the inner courtyard, that wasn't done with the Tabas HaMelech.
I understand. So when someone would die, they would go through the law books and just erase any law that he made that wasn't done with the seal of the king?
Is that a technical question?
Yes.
I don't know the answer. It wasn't there. It's a technical question. Technical question. I mean, explain something. I could try and explain it, but I just don't know. Sorry. I don't know. Technical questions. I don't do very good with technical questions. So if that decree was still in effect, so what's Esther doing? Again, she's going to Achash Verus willingly, which has all the inherent, all the built-in dangers that she was afraid of before. We have our admiration. Our appreciation of what Esther willing to do has to go up. Not only did she do it once, she did it a second time. That's according to the pshat that's still in effect. The Vilna Gaon, remember we said, where's Esther all this time? Where's Esther really? Where is she really? Where is she? Where is Esther? She's by the Beis HaMikdash. The Vilna Gaon says, Vataysef Esther is continuing. That means she was davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She was davening Shemini Esrei in the Kodesh, you know, in the Beis HaMikdash. She's not in front of Achash Verus. Vataysev Esther means that Esther is continuing her davening. He says Vataysev Esther is Psuka de Zimra. Psuka de Zimra is the additions to davening. It's like the prelude to davening. It's the Hakdam. It's supposed to. Rishonim say it's supposed to get us into a state of Simcha so that we could daven with Simcha. Psuka de Zimra is Vataysev. Vatadaber has the same word as Dibur, Aseres Dibris. Dibrois and Vatadaber is the same word, Vatadaber. And the Rishonim demonstrate that all the Aseres Dibris are to be found in the words of Kriyashma. So Vataysef is Tsukrizimra, Vatadaber is the Aseres Dibris as they are found in Kriyashma. Vatipol, she fell down, that's Nefilas Hapayim, that's Tachanun. It's a little out of order here, I don't know why. Tachanun, Vatipol. Vatev, and she cried, that's Shemini Esrei. Vatishanen, and she begged, that's the paragraph after Shemini Esrei, L'kayin Netzal L'sheni Meira, where you say, Hafer Atzasam V'kalkel Mach Shavtam. Who is that? That's Haman.
What's that one, sorry? After
Vatev is Vatishanen. It's a beseech, you're beseeching. That's Elokai Netzor. And in Elokai Netzor it says, Afer Atzasam V'kalkel Mach Shavtam, which is mamish the words of the Megillah and the Alanisim. You know, we say mamish these words. These words come from Esther. Vatakam Esther, and then she stopped what she was doing. Takam means to get up and do something else. That's Ashrei. Vatamoid, that's a volatzion. And there's more. Well, Esther did, okay? Because we don't do it because of the time of Simcha, and Esther was not for Simcha. We didn't get the Pasuk Dalet. Can we just get the Pasuk Dalet? Just one more Pasuk, please. Vayeshed HaMelech Esther, Eshavet Azov. He extended the golden scepter, but took a master and she got up, but Tom left the milk, and she stood in front of the king. So, Chari, this is a riot that the decree was still in force.
No, she's already in front of him.
It also says that she spoke before he did this.
You're already pointing out the differences. Baruch Hashem, I'm so, so proud of you. But the Pashup shot, without looking into the differences, is that the Xerah was still in force because he had the Shavit Azov. Rav Shlomo Alkovitz says if the Xerah was not in force, if it wasn't in force, that means that she was not putting her life in danger by going there because the Xerah was nullified, negated when Haman died. So what's the Shavit doing here? So we have a question. Either way, we're going to have a question.
It.
Right. So the Rav Shlomo Alkovitz says it's an ice of Ahava and Chayin. It's a demonstration of love and grace. Since this is the scepter that he used to show that he wants to spare her life, so he's showing her it's a demonstration, it's a sign of love and grace.
I mean, that scepter had to have been around before Haman decided to make that law. I mean,
that's a good point.
He didn't just make a scepter
because
Haman
point.
Made a law.
That's a good point. That could be, you know. Also, he wanted her to rise. And this is something which the monarchy does even nowadays. You know, rise. So he held out his scepter to her, and he showed her that she should rise. There's no need for her to bow in front of him. He brings two rayas to this. One rayas is because the word shavit is spelled differently in this pasuk. It's spelled without a yud. It's shin resh beis tes, and that's a sign that there's something missing over here. What's missing over here? Because last time, what's missing is that the shavit is saving her life, and here the shavit is just a sign of love. So it's spelled without the yud to show that there's something missing. And the other sign is the last time Esther touched the edge of the shavit. It seems that part of the Persian law is that it had to be extended. Remember the Gemara said it extended, you know,
like a million miles, gazillion
trillion thing. No, so that's so she could touch it, and you have to touch Ghoul in order to save your life. If you touch it, you save your life. I'm sure Haman made sure it was a very short scepter because he didn't want. So it had to extend. It was a nace that extended. She touched it. And in this pasuk, she didn't touch it. She didn't touch it because the Xerah was no longer in effect. That's a Mishem, I guess.
Sure. Yeah.
Let me see what this guy Josh.